spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matthew Mayer. I'm here with my mother, Andrea Mayer, and there's so much going on. This is actually part three, if you've tuned in to the past two episodes, dealing with Psalm 23, the shepherd and the sheep, and what that means for us humans in relation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before we get into any of that and hopefully be able to complete this series of three, who knows where we will be going in today's show. There's much to be mentioned and much to be thankful for. First and foremost, Mom, your book is out and the feedback and the impact has been unbelievable as it comes in by the day. People that have read it have been touched by it and their desire to share it and actually continue that mission statement, which SLAMD has a survival guide for those who are in pain and tragedy, and where do they turn? So for you listening today and you're interested in that book, you can find it at the major platforms that distribute books, whether ebooks or paperback books, and that's Amazon.com. Just search SLAMD Andrea Mayer, or BarnesandNoble.com and search Andrea Mayer SLAMD, and you will find it. We've also noticed through the analytics of where this podcast travels, which is unbelievable to me from where I've been, and to come out to a technologically
advanced
beyond advanced society. But we've realized that we're reaching areas around the world with this podcast, as far as Angola, Japan, Australia, Ukraine, and Korea. So we wanted to thank those listening in those countries. I don't know how you are hearing me speak in English, but we thank you anyway. And also, you know what's crazy? The power of the internet to be used for the good.
For the good, yep.
And to connect people from all across the world, like-minded with the same foundation of faith.
Yes.
And some of the people that have been instrumental in my life being connected through the MattMayerStory.com, through the internet, have been ladies like Cindy Harvey, a woman from Texas, who saw my story online and decided to write me as early as 2010. Mm. And she continually wrote me almost monthly and at times weekly to encourage me about what God placed on her heart to share with me in probably the darkest time of my life.
Yes. And she did the same for me as a mom.
And you were able to strike up a relationship with her, you know, through the phone, through text message, through emails, and what created an extension of our family.
And eventually visits. She stayed with us. Yep.
And it just shows you, you never know who you can connect with on the internet. And another lady from Chicago, Illinois, Miss Pixie Vaughn, and her daughter, Heather Vaughn.
Yes, not really Chicago. I cannot think of it.
Oh, it's Marion.
Yes, Marion, Illinois.
I only know that because I was used to writing the addresses on envelopes for years.
They're another two women that have been amazing. And they, too, not only minister to you, but they minister to me. I think Pixie would send me a card like every few weeks of encouragement as a mom to a mom. And presents and beautiful items of just encouragement. So, yeah, we would never know these people. And we got to meet them. They flew in when you were released.
Right. They came to my first testimony at Cape Fellowship Church here in southern New Jersey. So it's a challenge, really, if you're listening. How do you use the internet or the social media vehicles that God has entrusted? And this is it. They're not you. They're an extension of you.
That's right. They are.
And a lot of times we believe that we can get caught up in the internet and the social medias that we put out and believe that what we're putting out is our identity. But that can't be the case, because a lot of stuff that's being put out is pseudo-identities, false identities. But if you take ownership to the identity of Christ in you and put that out in the social media attached to you, wow, God will bless those platforms. And, you know, I'm standing on many platforms today. They're intangible platforms. Mm-hmm. Some of them are through my social media, my website. But you're still able to touch, minister, and reach people all across the world.
Yes. It always boggles my mind when we get a message and it'll say something like, thank you so much for your influence in my life. You have right. no idea. And you're like, where are they from? They're from Virginia right. or Florida.
Right.
And it's so touching that God has enabled a resource that can connect his people.
And you have to redeem it because
yes,
at the pace that it's being used for evil
yes.
and filth.
That's right.
A Christian can redeem even the internet.
Absolutely.
And that's where we're at. We're trying to redeem the airwaves with a podcast. So we just thank you for listening in wherever you are. And as we continue trying to finish up Psalm 23, this most quoted, most known psalm where we've been. I don't want to spend too much time recapping. If you have extra time on your hand, go back to part one and part two
yes.
of this series, Psalms 23, and just listen to the build-up. And we'll begin today in verse 5 and verse 6. And this is, you know, one of my more favorite verses as of late because of the meaning behind preparing a table. And the exact verse says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Mm.
And once again, you have to say, hold up. We thought we were doing a sheep shepherd analogy. What is the transition into this banquet or king and his guests analogy? And you got to understand that to prepare a table in the presence of enemies, it also was a shepherd sheep analogy because the shepherd would go before the sheep to prepare the pasture, often in the presence of what? Enemies of the sheep, wolves, scavengers and predators, lions that would watch. But they were fearful to approach the sheep because of the shepherd's presence. The sheep didn't know that.
Right.
They didn't know that, but because the shepherd went before them and prepared this table, the sheep were comfortable enough to follow and then eat. But what is the table also symbolizes is this place of nourishment, of refreshment, of replenishment. And I say, wow, in the presence of our enemies, what is the who are our enemies?
Right.
And without, you know, talking about the guy that comes in and gives you a hard time, well, he might not be your enemy. He might be a brother in Christ in the future. So you got to watch how you treat people. The actual enemies are the adversary and his demons that surround us. It's sometimes the reminder of guilt and shame or past pain.
Mm-hmm. Or accusations. You're a failure. You'll never amount to anything. People will never accept you.
Right. That's the enemies. And in the presence of your enemies, God prepares this table for you to sit, for him to remind you that you're forgiven. And I said, wow, how many times did I have to have this table prepared for me, for God to remind me, Matthew Mayer, that you're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And you're restored, and I want to replenish you, and I want to restore you, and I want to use you in the presence of your enemies. And another form of this table, I call it a platform of influence.
Yep.
And a table is something to stand on. And one of the tables that God prepared for me in the presence of my enemies was, while I was away, I was actually writing for a newspaper, my own column.
Yes.
The Cape May County Herald here ran by and owned by a man named Mr. Art Hall, who is a Christian owner, and he found it compelling to allow this column to go forth.
From prison. Yes.
So I was always curious, not because I wanted to say, well, I think I was the only inmate doing that, but I would always say, Mom, is there any other inmate locked up
right.
that has this audience? And I'm not sure if we can find anybody. Maybe they had blogs like I had blogs. But
right.
that was God preparing a table. It had nothing to do with Matt Mayer
mm-hmm.
and everything to do with vision and influence that he wanted to go forth from a dark place. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it would magnify his light.
And what a blessing for me as your mom, this community, having the opportunity to hear your heart and your mind for the Lord from a desolate place as prison. And for me, I felt it was a table prepared for me that everywhere I went, people would come up and say, I really appreciate what Matt's been writing. It ministered to me. So God, that table was, it's not only for you, it's for me, but it was for every reader that perhaps was stuck somewhere and saw hope through the fact that you were now still had a voice.
Right. One of the stories I have, I got to Southern State at the very end of my incarceration bid, we call it a BID, and I got moved rapidly in that location just for whatever reason. I think there was a lot going on behind the scenes, but I was subject to these moves, and I find myself probably in the worst housing unit at Southern State Correctional Facility, Unit 12. And if anybody has any idea what that means, especially those attached to that facility, they'll be like, what? How did you get to Unit 12? And I find myself in Unit 12. It was the smallest area. You literally could not sit on the bottom bunk because the top bunk was so low.
Oh, my God.
And I was sick. I had so much stuff, 4 years of stuff that I had brought from Mid-State Correctional Facility. And I had even downsized and downgraded all that stuff. But I still had so much stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had to transport it with no cart, no help, by myself. So I get there. I'm sweating. I carry these unequally yoked bags because it's just junk. It's like worse. It's harder than carrying a body, pretty much, because it's weird weight. Mm-hmm. And I get into my area, and I'm surrounded by strangers once again. And you know, music's blasting, and they got their own routines. And you're the new guy; they're all staring at you. And I'll never forget it. I was on the verge of cracking.
Yes.
I think I even called you. And I was that frustrated. You like, what frustrated. Is going on? I'm full minimum at this point, and I'm wondering why I'm getting treated like a maximum security inmate.
Right.
And this little guy comes up to me, and he looks at me, and he goes, I know who you are. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, did you come to this party? And he mentions it. I'm like, I don't think so. He didn't come with balloons, and he's trying to figure out where he met me from. Did I pass him? Blah, 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 where are you from? And I tell him I'm from the area down there. And he's just staring at me. He can't figure it out. He leaves. And in the meantime, I'm sitting there, and I'm unpacking, and people are just going on with their routine. He comes back. I can't even remember how long it was, but he comes back, and he goes, he announces, now I know who you are. He's like, you're the one that writes for the newspaper. And he proceeds to pull out all of my prison talks
that
he was saving, and he begins to show all my peers.
Wow.
And from that point on, everybody stopped what they were doing, and it was like they huddled around me. And they were that amazed that I was the inmate that was writing from a newspaper while I was locked up. And it instantly brought me influence, respect, and favor in a very hard environment.
Wow. That's called preparing a table.
That was called preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
And I'll tell you, we could literally write a book on the times that God has done that in not only your life, but in our life as a family. So God is so good. But we're going to move on to the next verse so that we can continue on with this.
Yeah, you anoint my head with oil. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And it says, you anoint my head with oil. Mm. And, you know, this was often done to prophets, being anointed for that office, kings, and also priests. So for the reference in this text to be on sheep,
right,
kind of would be confusing to the average reader. But it wasn't, because it was one of the tools that the shepherd would use, his oil. Remember I told you in the very beginning that he has this horn of oil on his belt. And he would use this oil for various reasons. And he would actually put oil on the head, or the holes of the sheep, and I say holes in reference to the ear hole, the nose hole, the eye hole, the mouth hole.
All the openings.
For a reason. And what would the reason be? Well, one of the smallest but most harmful enemies to a sheep is a mosquito, a gnat. And you would say, why? Because they're so helpless, they're so defenseless. Even gnats,
yes,
gnawing at them, they cannot defend themselves from. So what would happen is the gnats or these insects would go into the holes or the crevices of these sheep. And that wasn't necessarily the problem, but the problem existed when they would lay eggs or larvae, mm-hmm, in those holes. And it would literally drive the sheep mad. So think about that. The things that were coming from the outward and entering in these holes, the ear gate, the eye gate, the nose gate, and infesting the sheep. And sometimes the sheep would go so mad, you would see them rubbing their head against the ground, against a rock, against a tree, batting their head hard.
Trying to kill themselves.
Trying to kill themselves. Mm-hmm. And some sheep were successful in killing themselves. Lest the shepherd puts oil on their head, which acts as an insect repellent. Think about that. And you say, okay, what does that mean? Well, it means this. In Scripture, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit on us, like this oil on the sheep, it acts as a repellent to these things of the world that are trying to infest us.
Do you know we covered this in one of our shows?
We did.
Which is fine, because if you didn't hear the first, I think it was the first show.
Oh, yeah, I think
sheep.
I got ahead of myself the one show. And
which
I said,
is fine, because
okay,
it's always worthy of a repeat. But I think the most important part that has not been covered is what you talk about, and I never knew this,
about
the horns.
Yeah.
Because we did do the infestations
okay.
and how God takes care of that.
Right, so let's go to what happens with the oil and the sheep and in the fold. Well, they would get a little bit agitated at times during certain seasons, and they would turn against each other. And some of the sheep, obviously taken upon the form of rams with the horns, they would butt against each other. And if the shepherd didn't put the oil on the head of the horns of the sheep or rams, they would butt each other and hurt each other. But because of the oil, it would be less friction.
That's pretty cool.
And they would slide off, not causing as much harm. So if you think about that, you're going to have problems, especially in family settings, in church settings. But because of the Holy Spirit on us, in us, and around us,
right.
He prevents us from harming each other further than we would without His presence.
Right.
That's remarkable. And you got to really think. You say, all right, hold up. How many times in my past could something have gone tragically worse, but because of some unforeseen happening, it didn't? And you got to say, wow, that was God intervening with His Spirit, where He told you to leave that area premature, and then something happened, you heard about it.
Right. But you know what this brings to mind to me? Because those of you that are out there listening, a lot of times Christians hurt Christians. That doesn't even sound right, saying that, because as Christ followers, we should not be people that are prone to division and animosity. And one of the things I remember you saying to me, Matt, once, especially when we're attacked by Christians, yes, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, then that should be the buffer. And then that is really the revelatory aspect of whether or not we truly are Christians. But I remember one time you said to me, and you were in prison, and you said, do you know the difference between a sheep? How do you know the difference between a sheep
and a wolf?
And a wolf.
Because you were under attack by a particular person involved with the clergy in prison.
Sure.
And that's so not understandable, because you would think, wait a minute, how's that possible? But see, the Lord warns us that there are wolves that come in sheep's clothing.
Right.
And just to segue from this whole idea of oil, the Holy Spirit being the buffer, which is the way it should look like in a church. You can agree to disagree. There could be things, but if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we should be able to resolve it.
Sure.
But sometimes in churches, there's wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like sheep, and they walk like sheep, and they sound like sheep.
Right, but sing like sheep, they preach, they teach like sheep, they do all the church things like sheep.
And so tell everybody what you told me, because I just used this for somebody the other day, and she went, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, so how do you tell the difference between a wolf in sheep's clothing?
I love this.
And a sheep? Well, that wolf in sheep's clothing may look like a sheep, may talk like a sheep, may walk like a sheep, may serve like a sheep. But if it eats sheep, it's a wolf.
Wow.
Which means if they're devouring people, if they're criticizing people,
if they're
backstabbing people, it's in their diet. What are they eating? What do you see them, the chewy gossip that they chew on?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, they're a wolf in sheep's clothes.
Wow.
And, you know, that was one of the little parables I read that really got me thinking. I shared it with the church congregation in prison, and because in that environment, man, you don't know who's who, and you really
got
to listen to what's on their lips.
Well, you said people will be praising God in church and then coming back and looking at pornography.
Yeah, just completely contradictory towards
a true
believer.
The motions.
So you really had to be on guard and be very discerning with who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the next verse, we have, my cup runs over. And, you know, this is amazing because it just simply speaks of overabundance of blessing.
Love it.
It speaks of great favor, divine favor, an actual host of a party. And long story short, if he wanted you to leave, he would stop filling your cup and you would get the idea it's time to go. If he enjoyed your presence, he would keep filling your cup up.
Neat.
Which means he enjoyed your presence. He enjoyed your company. But if he really, really enjoyed you and you found favor with him, he would fill your cup up until it overflowed. Literally, so you could see, this is how much I enjoy you.
Wow.
And this is how much God enjoys his children. Mm-hmm. That he's filling our cups up to overflow. Are we recognizing it? And one of the things I read recently was, perhaps you don't know how or where or the reason why God would be filling up your cup to overflow. Maybe you don't see it. And you have to really be honest with yourself and ask yourself, maybe I'm not experiencing this fullness, this overflowing filling, is because you have not yet been emptied of yourself. Mm. You think you go into a church and you didn't get really anything out of that study or that sermon. You have to ask yourself, it wasn't the pastor. It might not have been the congregation's fault. You have to ask yourself, maybe you were still full of something inside of you
like that
needs to be emptied. Mm. Full of self, full of
pride.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of? The whole idea of cup, the cup running over and the shared blessings that we can't even comprehend. I'll tell you one. I had a zillion when you were in prison that just made no sense. I used to tell people, if I were to write a book about the way things were going with you in prison, people would think I was writing fiction, that I was delusional and making it up, because God was just showing up in every way possible to comfort, to encourage, through people to exhort. And here's one example. That one time when you were moved, you were on one tier for so long, you were in a groove, you were peaceful, everything was going great, and you got moved to one of the worst parts of the prison. And it happened to be within the same week my dad was dying. And it was the first stressful call that I had from you. And my house was full of people, and you didn't know, Grandpop's dying, and it was just a burden beyond burden. And all I kept thinking, and I didn't want everybody here to know what was going on, but I kept thinking, Lord, not now. You know, we're trying to take care of Dad, and I was worried now about you. You're in the worst part of the prison. You're where the gang members all are, and will you be harmed? Or all the things that a mom would think. And believe me, for days I was unsettled and praying and seeking God. And all of a sudden one day, there in my mailbox is a letter from a man called Little John Palladino.
Yes.
I open this letter, and it basically, you know, explains to me, hey, my name is Little John Palladino. I'm a former mobster. I'm in prison with your son. And the gist of it was, I love this kid. I've watched this kid. He is an amazing young man. And while I am here in this prison, which is right in the bed next to him, nothing will ever happen to him. I just felt like I needed to tell you that, Mrs. Mayor. And here's the irony. One, that was such an answer to the cries of my heart. Like, I was unsettled. And two, his name was Little John, which was the name of my oldest son,
right?
Little John. Almost was like there was humor in my heart that, wow, and isn't it funny that who's protecting him but Little John?
Yep.
through God's movement?
Yep. Oh, so many of those stories, those divine design, those connections. Your safety, the amount of encouragement that perhaps you and Dad received while I was away. And no matter how many times I told you guys, I'm good in visits or this thing's working out, I'm at peace and God is working, he's moving, I need to be here. There would always be dread when you left. I mean, you're leaving your youngest son in a foreign land. Even if Dad worked in the jail, being in law enforcement, he still never really understood or would be able to see the real dynamics that take place. But he saw enough that would make his stomach churn, knowing his son was in those type of places.
Absolutely.
But, you know, what you're doing now, my Bible study with other women and able to share where God has taken you through, obviously with your book, me leading a Bible study, having speaking engagements to speak at youth ministries and to share what God has done in my life has nothing to do with us, but by his grace,
by
we are what we
grace.
Are. And just the outreach.
The cup is running over.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
Right.
And you know what? I get up in the morning and I'm almost overwhelmed at the goodness of God in your life.
And you say, well, when's enough enough? And you, as a believer, God says, I want to continue to fill and I want you to continually be thirsty. Mm. Where it isn't enough. No, I want more of his grace. And what that means is, there's a verse that Paul writes. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. And you stop there and you say, this grace that was working with Paul, it had a point to it. It wasn't empty. And he said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Mm. Who's they all? His contemporaries, his peers. And then he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So you see there's a beautiful picture of our free will.
Yes.
And our responsibility to make decisions, to press further and desire more of his grace. And then there's that sovereignty of him giving it regardless of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it works perfectly. It's the perfect blend.
That's awesome.
And then finally, you know, we're a little bit over time, but.
Yeah, let's just conclude.
We're going to conclude because this is self-explanatory, this final verse, verse 6, Psalm 23. Surely, which is an absolute promise, surely God has sure promises that you can
take to
bank
the
on. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just when I need them.
Yes.
All the days. Surely goodness for my steps and mercy for my falls shall follow me and pursue me. The Hebrew word follow is an animal in pursuit of its prey. Mm. Like a lion running through the field after a gazelle. That's God's goodness and mercy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. From here until forever. Mm-hmm. Not when I get there. No, I'm in the house of the Lord now. I'm his child. And I should not act like a pauper when my father is the king.
I like it.
So, we hope you've been blessed by this capturing of Psalm 23. And the entire point has been to ask ourselves the question, do we only know it by memory or do we know the shepherd of Psalm 23 intimately? And we hope that we've given you a pretty solid picture, and there's so much more in between these verses.
Yes.
That you can probably find in other books and read on your own, and God will drop on you as further truth where you're at and what you're experiencing. But we just did what we thought would be a pretty cool synopsis of Psalm 23 and tried to tie it into where we've been and where God has brought us through. And, you know, we just want to take time to thank everybody that tunes in, and wherever you are, share this podcast with somebody that you know is struggling. This may be the very uplift or encouragement that they need. We also thank those from around the world who are listening, Angola, Japan, Australia, Ukraine, and Korea.
I think they like the rap, too, from Alex.
Yeah, maybe they do. The beginning from Alex Vasquez. That's my man from prison who is plugged in. He's serving, and he's a rapper. And
he's a
his
rapper.
Lyrics are anointed. And
yes.
If you listen to him in the beginning and you listen to the outro, which is somebody else singing, and it's so beautiful. It ties in to where we are.
Absolutely.
And there's not a single person out there who's going through something that somebody else hasn't gone through.
Absolutely.
So we thank you. We appreciate it. We end all shows by reminding you that the clearest testimony that you can possibly give isn't the one that you share for people to hear. It's the one you live for people to see. You may be the only Bible somebody reads. In Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God, and that is God speaking to your heart. We thank you for tuning in. We look forward to the next time we meet. He takes the pain from my flesh and leaves it right at the cross.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones they hate. Wait patiently for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith, pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved 316 on the cross. I know where you're going if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. From know where you're going. Listen, listen, listen. You guys that are running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah.
Don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ. I've been there.